Welcome to Worship in the Word with Pastor Robert Morris. We are concluding our series, The Seven Churches of Revelation, where Pastor Robert has been explaining the truth and encouragement found in the Apostle John's letters to churches in the book of Revelation. Today, we're talking about restarting our relationship with Jesus. Well, let's tune in with Pastor Robert now.
So we are concluding our series called The Seven Churches of Revelation this weekend. This will be the last church, the seventh church. It's the church at Laodicea, and you probably know what most Bible titles would title it, would be the lukewarm church. I'm giving the message, restart your relationship. You're going to hear some things that you probably have never heard about the lukewarm church because of what we call contextual exegesis. In other words, drawing the meaning out of the scripture from the context, the geographical context, the time context, you know, things like that, all right? So Revelation 3, verse 14, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen," and that Amen, by the way, means truth. Doesn't mean so be it. I don't know which preacher started that, but he should have learned his Greek before he said that. But it means truth. So these things says the truth, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Let me just say one thing about the church at Laodicea here. This is the only church that he didn't tell them anything they were doing good. So just thank God you don't go to the church of the Laodiceans, all right? "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot." Now, this is a big deal because we misunderstood this completely. "I could wish," in other words, my wish is, "you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." And the Greek word here is vomit, not spit, as some versions say. It is vomit. I wish I'd just vomit you out of my mouth. And I'm going to talk to you later about what that means. It's not the Christians are rejecting them at all. We'll explain. "Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable." Now watch these three, because we'll take our 3 points from these and then three things later that conclude, that coincide with these. "Poor, blind, and naked." Poor, blind, and naked. "I counsel you to buy from me gold." Remember he said you're poor, but "I counsel you to buy gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed." He told them they were naked, "that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see." Remember, he told them they were blind. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." So he is still saying this. He's telling them, listen, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't even write you a letter. But I'm doing this not because your sins haven't been forgiven, because your sins have been forgiven. I'm doing this because you're hurting yourself. That's the reason I'm rebuking you right now, or correcting you. "Therefore, be zealous and repent." Change your mind. And then here's a very famous verse that also most of the time is misapplied. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Here's the line, the verse that's in all seven churches. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." All right. So they said, he said, you say that you're rich, that you're wealthy, and have need of nothing. Okay, that's a lie. They needed something that none of the other churches needed. Water. They had no wells. They had no mountainous runoff. They had no springs. They had to build an aqueduct and then later clay pipes, which you can see today, the remains of that, from two cities that were close by, Hierapolis and Colossae. Hierapolis was famous for something. It was famous for hot springs. People went there to bathe in the hot baths. Colossae was famous for something also. It was famous for cool springs, cool wells. It was famous for fresh, cold water. They built this aqueduct from Hierapolis with hot water, but by the time the hot water got to Laodicea, what do you think it was? Lukewarm. So they built clay pipes, underground pipes from Colossae with cold water, but by the time it got there, guess what it was? Lukewarm. Laodicea was famous for lukewarm water. He said, I wish you were cold or hot. By the way, they were also famous because the water by the time it got there had such sediment and such a lime in it that they were literally famous for this. If you drink the water from Laodicea, it will make you vomit. So Jesus is simply using an analogy that they can understand. And the analogy he uses is probably misunderstood by 99.9% of Christians, in my opinion. Because again, of this thing called contextual exegesis. Because Jesus says, I wish you were cold or hot. He puts cold equal with hot. But we don't interpret that passage this way. We think hot means committed, on fire believers. And cold means uncommitted unbelievers. And lukewarm means not on fire believers. They're believers because he's writing to a church, but they're not on fire. Okay, he would have never made the statement, I wish you were cold, if cold meant unbelievers, because unbelievers are separated for all eternity from God. And even lukewarm Christians, if they're true believers, go to heaven and are with God for all eternity. He wouldn't have said, I wish you were separated from me for all eternity rather than be a lukewarm Christian. He wasn't commenting on the degree of their faith. That's not what he was talking about. Think about drinks. I like hot chocolate, though, in the winter. I don't like lukewarm hot chocolate. I like hot chocolate. Everyone got it? But I tell you, even though I don't drink coffee, let me tell you what I do drink. Iced tea. I like iced tea. But let me tell you something I don't like. Lukewarm tea. You want your drinks hot or cold. Is everyone following me? This has nothing to do with their commitment to God. Let me tell you what it has to do with. It has to do with how they make God taste to unbelievers. I wish that when someone took a drink of you, that they would say, that is so good on a cold day. Because you're hot, or that is so refreshing on a hot day because you're cold. But because you're lukewarm, and we're going to get to this in a minute, because you're full of sediment in your life, you don't have pure water, you make people want to vomit. And you are a bad witness for me. That's what he's talking about here. Okay, now, he told them, you're poor, blind, and naked, right? Would you like to know what Laodicea was famous for? They had the largest bank of all seven cities. As a matter of fact, they had a banking center. They were wealthy. By the way, their wealth came from gold. He said, I count you to buy gold. We'll get to that in a minute. But they were famous for banking and being wealthy. They were the wealthiest of the seven cities. Jesus said, you're poor. They also had the largest medical center of all seven cities and the largest medical school attached to it. And would you like to know what they were famous for in their medical school? Ophthalmology. He said, you're blind. They also, this is so incredible. They also had the largest clothing manufacturing business because they had very fertile fields close, and they had what was very rare in those days, black wool. And he said, because of that, and so they bragged about the clothes that they could make, and he said, you're naked. By the way, most cities only had white wool. They had black wool. If you only have white wool, you can only make one color clothing. But if you have, and I'd like for you to just see, yes, I am talking about ethnicity now. If you have black and white, you can make all sorts of beautiful colors. All sorts of beautiful colors. So, they were famous for banking. Jesus said, you're poor. They were famous for eye remedies. Jesus said, you're blind. They were famous for clothing. Jesus said, you're naked. I'd like to ask you a question. Do you think Jesus knows everything about everything? Absolutely, he does. So he's writing to the church at Laodicea. Now, I just need to address one other thing. He said, buy from me. I counsel you to buy. You also need to take, when we say contextual exegesis, not just the passage, but I've told you before, it has to be congruent with all of Scripture. They would have known, as Jewish believers, Isaiah 55. Isaiah has more messianic verses in it than any verse in the Bible, more messianic promises than any scripture, any book in the Old Testament. Isaiah 55 says this, verse 1, come, all you who are thirsty. Here was a city that didn't have its own water source. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. How are you going to buy without money? Buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Okay. Everything from Jesus is free. But why would Jesus himself say, buy it? Let me tell you why. Because it does cost something. It costs him his blood, but it costs you faith. You have to believe, you have to put your faith in Jesus, all right? So he's talking about spiritual wealth, spiritual health, and spiritual garments. So those are our 3 points. So number one, spiritual wealth. Revelation 3:18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, rich spiritually. He's not talking about material wealth, but they understood gold because, again, most of their deposits were in gold. They had some of the largest gold mines in Laodicea or close to Laodicea. But remember I told you that it costs faith? Watch 1 Peter 1:7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, your faith, he said, I counsel you to buy gold refined by the fire. In other words, the way your faith grows is to go through testing. That's not good news, but that's the truth. May be found to praise, honor, and glory, watch this, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you know that for hundreds of years, the book of Revelation was not called the book of Revelation in church history. It was called the first five words of the book. You can look it up, Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the book was called, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And here's what he says, your faith, even though it's going to be tested, is going to prove to praise, honor, and glorify the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you, this book fits together perfectly. And then right on down in 1 Peter 1, verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. We already talked about things that perish in chapter 7, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct. In other words, you didn't have a target, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Psalm 119:72, truth from your mouth means more to me than striking it rich in a gold mine. Okay, so how can you restart your relationship with Jesus? Take your mind off of worldly things. Set your mind back on heavenly things. Do you know what happens to many of us? We begin to follow God, and God begins to put our life back together. And pretty soon, we get a better job, and we can live in a better neighborhood, and we are blessed with some material things. And pretty soon, our heart begins to go toward those material things, just like the church at Laodicea. And what he's saying is, you need to buy gold from me. You need to get your heart fixed back on the words of my mouth are more precious than gold. The blood of the Lamb that redeemed you is more precious than gold. You can restart your relationship with him. So that's number one. Number two, spiritual health. Paul said, poor, blind, and naked. So we talk about poor. This is blind, spiritual health. Revelation 3:18, I counsel you to anoint your eyes. I'm just put just the part that of the verse that we're looking at now. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. That you may see. Isaiah 43:8, this isn't anything new. Bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Spiritual blindness, spiritual deafness has been in the Bible for a long time. Jeremiah 5:21, hear this now, O foolish people without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. Ezekiel 12:2, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house which has eyes to see but does not see. In other words, they can't see spiritually. And ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Okay, so what causes spiritual blindness? Isaiah 42:19, who is blind but my servant or my own people? Or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as he who is perfect? All right, here's what causes spiritual blindness. Pride. Spiritual blindness is caused by people who won't admit they're wrong. Think about the most blind people, spiritually blind people that were on the earth when Jesus was on the earth. Who were they? The scribes and Pharisees. Why were they spiritually blind? Because the Pharisee, this is what Jesus said, the Pharisee prayed like this, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Spiritual blindness causes pride. Now, I'm going to read the scripture to you later, but I just want to take part of this and talk about spiritual health, all right? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Y'all ever heard that scripture? Revelation 3:20. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him. He's saying to Christians, if you'll open your heart to me, I will come in and I will feed you. And not only will I feed you when you open this book, but I'll sit there with you for hours and fellowship with you and spend time with you. The greatest thing is not what we're learning when we read the Bible, but the greatest thing is who's talking to us when we're reading the Bible. that we're dining with Jesus. And here we are Christians, and we have more access to the Bible than we've ever had before, on more devices than we've ever had, and we never read it. And again, it's not just the words on the pages. It's who we're eating with. That's what's wonderful. And the third thing is spiritual garments. Spiritual garments, Revelation 3:18, I counsel you to buy for me white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Isaiah, again, Isaiah, more messianic scriptures than any in the Old Testament. Verse 60, chapter 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. Okay, so it is by grace that God gives us righteousness, which is right standing with God. By the blood of Jesus, I'm in right standing with God. But if I don't live righteously, it defiles my garments. Doesn't send me to hell. That's through grace. But it defiles my conscience. I don't live with a pure conscience before God. It defiles my passion for Jesus, my passion for my family, my passion for the things of God. These three things about returning, let me sum it up this way, and that is set your mind on things above. I walk in humility, and I just want to say it the way I wrote it, drive sin out of your life. Okay, so let me end the whole series now. I'm going to wrap the whole thing up. Let me show you again this famous verse in the Bible that we talk about, Revelation 3:20. Watch this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, I'll come back to that in just a minute. Here's my voice and opens the door. I will come into him. This is for you. This is personal, singular. And dine with him. I'll meet with him personally. And he with me. Jesus says, if just one person will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and I'll meet with that one person. And I'll spend time with that one person teaching him the Bible. But we're talking about restart your relationship. There's one thing you have to do. Even though I gave us three applications, look again at the very first part. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now I want to show you something very so amazing about this. We just talked last week that Jesus said, I have the key of David. Do you remember this? And I can open any door. The God who can open any door. The God of the universe stands at the door of your heart and knocks. He will not open that door. You have to open the door.
We want you to take a moment to think about what Pastor Robert shared today and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. If you want to connect with us or check out some of Pastor Robert's other messages, visit PastorRobert.com. And if you haven't already, go follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter so we can be a part of your community. Thank you so much for joining us today as we concluded this series. Next time, we'll start another great series from Pastor Robert. Until then, be blessed.